Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 2. It says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche, however you want to say that, to agree with each other in the Lord. And yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, brothers in the Lord, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to talk about peace, how to experience the peace of God. If there's anything that's more elusive in our world, it is peace, isn't it? You can have all the right conditions in a nation or a country, in a community, and sometimes still peace can elude you, right? You can have a peaceful country, but still not have the peace within your own heart because of circumstances, because of life, because of fears. Peace can then elude us, right? And on the opposite side of that, you can be in the middle of chaos and be experiencing the peace of God. That's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about peace in four different areas. And if you look at Philippians chapter 4, he talks about peace in four different areas. Okay? And so the first area we're going to talk about is peace with others. All right? Now, the verses that I read, Paul is talking to two women that had worked with him side by side, who had helped him advance the gospel. Working with Paul, helping him to advance the gospel. And they had worked with him side by side, and they probably had worked side by side together. But at the time when Paul writes this from prison, something had come up. And these two women who loved God, who were valuable to the work of the gospel, had gotten at odds with each other. And now they weren't talking. Maybe they weren't even going to church together. Maybe they weren't going to church at all. And it breaks the heart of Paul. You know, that happens in the church, doesn't it? That happens. And it grieved the heart of Paul because he knew how valuable they were in helping him advance the gospel. And now they were at odds with each other. They probably weren't talking. They didn't want to be in the same room with each other. And so Paul deals with peace with each other. You know, in the New Testament talks a lot about love. It talks about loving the world, loving our enemies. But Paul, I believe, deals a lot more when he mentions the word love. He mentions it in the context of loving who? Getting the binky, all right. He mentions loving who? Loving each other, right? Within the body of Christ. And I think Paul realizes that even with the power of the gospel to change and transform lives, when we get our focus off of Christ and on each other, at times we don't always agree. And there's none of you here that have the same personality. And I can guarantee you that some of you do things that drive each other crazy. All right? Okay? And maybe your spouse. And maybe the person that is sitting across the room for you. Hey, let's just be honest. We all have things that we can even offend each other by accident. Or sometimes we're a little bit ornery. Some of you are ornery. And you actually kind of do it on purpose. Even to me, I can't believe it. But we can get at odds. And so Paul deals with these two women. He pleads with them. He pleads with them to work through their differences, to find reconciliation, and to be restored not only to Christ, but also to each other and to the body of Christ. And not only does he plead with these two women, but he also pleads with who? The other people in the church to help the process to bring healing and to restore these relationships. You know, we can avoid people here on earth, but if you're a believer in Christ and the person that you're not getting along with is a believer in Christ, you're going to have to deal with it up there. So you might as well get it taken care of down here so that up there you can enjoy heaven, right? You can't avoid it. You can't avoid it. And so he pleads with Clement and some of the other people that were within the church in Philippi to help these women to overcome. And the word that Paul uses is that they were to be of the same mind, to share what they had in common. He says, I plead with Euodia and Syntyche to agree with each other, to be of one mind in the Lord. And what he's talking about is to, what do we all have in common as believers in Christ? Our salvation, right? We have Christ and the mission that he's given us. What is the mission he's given us? Go ye therefore in all the world, make disciples of all nations, right? And if we keep our focus on Christ and what he has called us to do, the other stuff is not important. I tell you what, if you get in a military context and you're in the heat of battle, I can guarantee you that you have people fighting together that are from different races and backgrounds. They're from different political backgrounds. They probably have a lot of things that they could argue and fight about and complain about. But when they get on the battlefield, they have one purpose and one goal, don't they? And they're fighting on the same side, and they go out and they work together. And we have to have that same mentality within the body of Christ and realize, you know what? I'm not going to agree with everybody. We're not all going to have the same political views. We're not all going to see things eye to eye. But there's one thing that we can agree upon is that Christ has saved us. And we have to keep our focus on him. When we start looking at each other and picking on each other and say, so-and-so's not doing this, they're not doing that, then we have issues. And we're getting focused, we're focusing on the wrong thing. And so the first point that I see here about peace with others, the key to peace with others is staying focused on Christ. And when we lose that focus, we lose what is important, what Christ has entrusted to us. And so the unity Paul is calling them to is to put Christ and his church ahead of our own interests at times. That's what he says in Philippians chapter 2 as well. Don't always be focused on your own interests, but on the interests of others and what Christ has called you to. And there's times you may have to swallow your pride. And there's times, you know what? What's important to you is important to you, but it may not be worth fighting for. All right? Churches have divided over the color of carpet. Have you heard that? Right, Gil? Churches divide. They get into arguments over some of the things that have nothing to do about Christ and what he's called us to do. John, you've been there. Yeah. So we have to stay focused on Christ and what he's called us to do. Secondly, Paul deals with peace in our heart. This is one of the areas of that peace can sometimes elude us. We can have all the right conditions in the community we live, the state we live in, the nation we live in. You know, we live in a pretty good nation, don't we? You could be living in Ukraine and dealing with the tension that is there. And a lot of those people didn't choose to live there. That's where they were born. That's their homeland. But now they have to deal with the turmoil that is there. But he deals with peace of heart. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. He wants to get that point across. What does he want to get the point across of? Rejoice. All right. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious, or you can put fearful there, about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. We are. But see, God gives us a solution. And I believe that this came out of Paul's own struggles in what God had called him to do. And I think that before he knew Christ, he was kind of a control freak. Okay, Paul was just very driven. And I think he got very anxious and kind of bent out of shape if things didn't go the way he wanted them to. All right? But as he began to do what God had called him to do, to go into from community to community to share Christ, I think Paul realized, you know what? There's a lot of things that I cannot control. In fact, there's very little I can control. I can preach Christ, but I can't control people's response. And sometimes he was run out of town. At times he was, you know, stoned with rocks. At times he had to run. Philippians, when he goes to Philippi, Lydia gets saved and things are going well, but all of a sudden this demon-possessed woman begins to follow them, causes problems. Paul prays for her, the demon leaves, but the issue was is that her owner, she was a slave woman, the spirit allowed her to tell the future. And so when that spirit was driven out from her, she was not able to do the job that made them money. And so they got everybody worked up. They arrested Paul and Silas and threw them in prison. And as they were in prison, what did they do? Did they complain? Okay. Did they lick their wounds? What did they do? They rejoiced in the Lord, right? And they actually were found singing and praising God. And as they did, the prison doors opened. There was an earthquake. They came. Their shackles fell off. The prison doors flew open. The jailer and his family get saved that day because they couldn't control the situation, but they learned that in all circumstances that they were going to praise God and they were going to worship him. And so what Paul calls us to do is that to not be anxious, but when we have things come into our life that are out of our control that we can't change, which happens to be quite a few things, honestly, he calls us to do a couple things. He says, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. We're not to just let stuff roll off, but we're supposed to come to bring our requests to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Okay? Thank God. Don't just come barging into his presence and say, God, I need this, 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 and this. All right? But come into his gates with thanksgiving. Bring yourself into his presence and then say, God, this is what's weighing on my heart. It's attacking my peace right now, and it's attacking my joy. It's stealing it. And that's what anxiety does, doesn't it? It robs you of the joy of the Lord and the peace that God wants to have ruling in your heart and in your life. And so when we come to God with our prayers and our requests with thanksgiving, guess what happens? The peace of God comes flooding in to our heart. Now, the kids are coloring a picture. Who can help me tell me what's on that coloring page? Okay. Owen. There's a castle. And what's around the castle? There's a bridge and there's a what we call a moat, right? A moat. Okay? All the castles in those middle-aged or medieval days had moats. Okay, and it wasn't just for decoration. They didn't want to just be by the lake. But they were a barrier of protection to protect the castle. And that's the terminology that is used here. Paul's in a military setting, isn't he? He's in prison. He has soldiers all around him. And he says, you know what? When we bring our requests to God, it is like we are standing in the middle of a ring of soldiers. And they protect us against anxiety and fear that would want to attack us. They're on guard. They're protecting us. They're surrounding us. Just like a moat surrounds a castle, God has a garrison of his angels and his protection that comes around our life to protect our heart and our mind from the attacks of fear and anxiety. When we come before God with prayer, with thanksgiving, it's like that hedge of protection that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so the second point is the key to the peace of God in our heart is to rejoice, be thankful, and to pray. Rejoice, be thankful, and pray. And often rejoicing in the Lord isn't an automatic thing. You're not always going to feel like rejoicing. You're not always going to feel like being thankful. In fact, I don't know if it's part of our culture. I don't know if it's just part of the human nature. But often what do we dwell and think on? All the things that are wrong, right? We've got a roof over our head. We're in a safe place. There's a lot of things that we can be thankful for. If we have good health. You have to focus on the good things. And often, you know, man, there's one thing that goes bad and we think the world's coming to an end. We have to dwell and think about things that are positive. So, the key to peace in our heart is to rejoice, to be thankful, and to pray. And if we do, it'll be like that moat that surrounds the castle. It'll be like the Roman soldiers protecting us and guarding us and shielding us from the attacks of the enemy. Well, there's a third area of peace that Paul talks about. It's about peace of mind. So he deals with peace with others, peace in our heart, but also peace of mind. And he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received from me, or have seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you always. Now, I need the children, if they can find Amy right up here. All right? You guys are going to help me out. Just come. You just go shoot right up here. All right? All right. So Paul says, first of all, this is my mind filter, okay? You like that? Mind filter. All right. Okay. So the first thing that Paul calls us to do is, the first filter is, and they can just put that anywhere on here, just so it kind of sticks. He says to think about things that are what? Owen? What is it? True. Yeah, put it anywhere you want to on there. All right. Okay, you can get in the back of the line, I think. We'll see how many we have. Things that are true. What is true? Things that are reliable, valid, that are honest. You know, God's word is truth, isn't it? So think about that. Instead of thinking about the lies of the enemy, you know, and I'll just illustrate that. The lies of the enemy, you know, he'll come in, he says, you're no good, you're inferior, you're never going to make it, you're not going to pass that test. You know, that's what the enemy says. But what does God say? He says, you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's the truth. And that is what we are called to dwell upon. So, first part of our filter there is truth. All right, what's the second one? Noble. Think on things that are noble. All right, you get it stick there? Noble. Noble are things, qualities that are that make you worthy of respect. So something that is noble is worthy of respect. It is admirable. It is something that people would look up to. Okay? Those are the things we're to be thinking about. Things that are noble. Okay? What's the next one? Right. Things that are right. Compared to things that would be wrong. All right. Things that are right. So, there again, the Greek word would maybe bring the things that are upright, that conform to God's standards. Okay, so those would be the things that are in alignment with God's word, would be right. Things that are not conforming to that would be the opposite. All right, what's the next one?
Pure.
All right, why don't you put it up here? Can you get way up there? Yeah, all right. Make sure it sticks there. Pure. All right. Pure has to do with morality. We even get that word chaste out of it. So if a woman is chaste, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that she has a bunch of guys chasing after her. What does it mean? It means that she's kept herself until marriage, right? It talks about sexual purity. And so we're talking about moral purity. Think about things that are pure and that are moral. That's part of our filter. All right. What's the next one? Oh, I get to think about my wife. Is that what that means? Things that are lovely. Paul puts that in there. Things that are, they're again, noble, and things that are right. The next one. And Paul's using a lot of descriptive adjectives here, right? Admirable. Why don't you go up the side? You got room there? All right.
Good question. He asked what admirable means.
What does admirable mean? It means things that are agreeable or pleasing, all right? There again, things that would kind of be along that same lines as noble, worthy of respect, that line up with God's word. Okay, what's the next one?
Excellent.
Okay, just not good. Why don't you go on the side? Excellent.
Excelente.
Excelente. How do you say it in Spanish? There you go. All right. And then the last one is?
Praiseworthy.
You can put that one there. You know what? If we live our life, this is a mind filter, okay? And if we use that as the filter for our life to think about these things, then guess what? Thoughts of anxiety. All right. I want you to try to push that through there. Don't break it, but. Can anxiety fit through there? Can't fit through there? All right. Okay. Go back of the line. Anxiety can't get in. What's that word? Can you say it? Pity? Yeah. Can pity get through here? We don't think we're good for anything. Can that fit through there? It doesn't fit. All right. You go back of the line. All right. He tried to make it fit. It didn't go. What's that one? Revenge. Ooh, we're thinking about vengeful thoughts. This is what they did to me. They did that and that. Will that fit through this mind filter and steal our joy? No, it won't. Can't think about it. It's not going to rob our joy. What's that one? Violence. Will that fit through there? Well, no, we have to go this way. We can't go sideways. Will it fit there? Oh, okay, it doesn't fit. You have to go back in line. All right. What's lust? Will lust fit in there? You're going to try and put it sideways, but we're going to go this way. It doesn't go that way, does it? Okay. Don't ruin my illustration. All right. What's this one? Greed. Greedful thoughts. That doesn't fit through there either. All right. You know what? What will go through there is what was designed to go through there. Now, I want you to take, you have pretty good lungs. Can you blow? Go. Practice. Okay, and you got clean breath? All right. Okay, I want you to get right here and blow through there. Yep, I feel it. So the things that are supposed to get through, but the things that are not supposed to get through don't get through. Are you following me? This is an air filter, really. So it allows air to get through, but it blocks out all the particles, all the bad things that would hurt a furnace. All right? But it allows the good things through. All right, you can give the cards. If you want to take the cards with you, you can. Yes, you can all blow on it before you go. All right. And hopefully it's catching all the other stuff, all the germs. All right. Give these guys a hand. Think about that. If we were to use this every day in our own lives, every thought that came into our mind, and we put it against that grid, against that filter, is it true? Is it right? Is it noble? Admirable? Praiseworthy? Excellent? What Paul is saying is you have absolute control over your thoughts and your mind. Did you know that? You allow the thoughts to go in there. And sometimes we dwell on things that are not right, whether it is sinful or whether it is just depressive thoughts or wrong thoughts, and we allow them to dwell there. And Paul says the key to peace in our mind is to think on things that are right, to think on the right things, and to allow what he says to be a filter. And see, I think Paul, through his own trial and error, he learned in his walk with God through the trials and difficulties of life. And he says, you know what? In order to have peace in my mind, these are the things we need to think about. And we need to put our thoughts through the filter of these things so that we can have peace in our heart and in our mind. Ultimately, you are responsible for the thoughts as a believer in Christ. And if you experience the peace of God in your mind, you must hold your thoughts to a high standard. You know, and it's true that is what you think about is what you become. Have you heard that? So what we think about is important, and we have to put it against that filter. The fourth thing that Paul talks about, and this will be our final point, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. That's good there. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Now, we use that verse a lot. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. But the context, he's dealing with how we are living financially in our lives. How good are we doing? Are we in want or are we in need? Or we have plenty? I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it is good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, you Philippians know in the early days of my acquaintance with the gospel, when I went, I was sent out from Macedonia, so he left Philippi. Not one church shared with me in the matters of giving. So he left Philippi and he went to Thessalonica and other churches down that chain. He says, nobody helped me out in the area of giving and receiving except you only. So they supported his ministry. That partnership that we talked about in chapter 1. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again to help in my time of need. Not that I was looking for a gift, and I'm not looking for what, but I was looking for what could be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. So now he's in prison, and even in prison, the Philippians are sending gifts and people to minister to his needs. All these things are a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Verse 19 is another one you should have underlined. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches, glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And see, there again, that's a verse that we sometimes use, but it falls within this context of giving. That as they supplied Paul and took care of his needs and helped him advance the gospel, Paul says, you know what? I'm confident that God will supply all your needs according to his riches. Churches, they really got behind what Paul was doing, and they were faithful to Paul, and they got behind him helping to spread the gospel, not only in Philippi, but to all the communities that he went in the regions of the world. What is the key to financial peace? I think it's found in some of those key verses. The key to financial peace is trust and contentment in the provision of God. Trust and contentment in the provision of God. Sometimes easier said than done. I'm going to be quite honest. I've been there. Sometimes I am there. It's always easy when that paycheck has come in, you know, like clockwork. But sometimes there's some uncertainty there. And we have to rest in the trust and the contentment and the provision of God. Does God love you? Yes? You're not very confident. Does God love you?
Yes.
Are you a child of His?
Yes.
Do you believe He's going to provide for your needs?
Yes.
Yes. And so we have to trust and be content in Him. And often we can get pretty stressed out about that. I've been there. And I'm still growing in that area of just learning to trust in the provision of God, that God will provide for my needs. And I think there's sometimes a false belief within the body of Christ that if I serve God, if I tithe and give, that, man, I'm only going to, you know, it's just going to, you know, it's just going to be pouring in. Sometimes it is. But I don't give to get. Okay? I give because it's a matter of obedience and I want to honor God. It's part of my worship. And Paul, he was called to be a light to the Gentiles. He was serving God. Now, did he always have plenty? No. He always had enough. But he says, I've learned to be content. Sometimes I have more than enough. And at times it's a little bit lean. But I've learned the secret of being content. And see, that's how he had peace, financial peace within his own life. You know what? If you have to go without cable and some things, yeah, you can do without that. Right? Sometimes the things that we think we need to have peace, and you need to travel to other countries, folks. There's people that have 10% of what we have or less. And they're happy. They're joyful. You don't need all that stuff. It's part of our culture. And we think it's normal. And we think we have to have all this stuff to be happy. You know, if God provides it, so be it. But you don't need to have all that stuff to have the peace and joy within your heart and your life. And what I do know is that God will provide in some supernatural ways by his provision. You know, just on the trip that I took to Guyana, really didn't have the funds to do that trip. I did have some air miles saved up, and so for the most part, my airfare was covered by air miles. I did have to buy a ticket, but I had some people help out with that. And so we're going to have to pull some money out of savings to help do that, which is fine. You know, but I spoke two Sundays there, and I've spoke a lot of different churches when I've been overseas in other countries. Never have they ever given me an honorarium or anything. Never. I mean, and I don't expect it. I'm just there to serve, and I'm there to give. That's my role and my purpose. They don't pay me for teaching. I just give of my time, and the church allows me to do that. So you're investing in that as well because you're allowing me to go. But in both services that I spoke, they took up an offering for me, and that just helped me pick up a few gifts. But it also helped me with my expenses that were not covered. So I got back, and all my expenses were covered. Provision of God. Provision of God. And you know, God is faithful when we trust him and when we walk before him and learn that secret. Amen. I want us to have the musicians, if you would come, and Gil and Emily, you can join me shortly. Victor and Yolanda, if you would join me up here. I want to close with a hymn. We don't often close with a hymn. But I don't know if you know the story behind It Is Well With My Soul. William Spafford was sending his wife and his children to England, and he had to stay behind because of some business. And so they went ahead of him. But as his wife and children were traveling by ship, storm came, and everybody, I believe, was lost on that ship. His wife and his kids were lost. He made that same journey and trip a couple days later, and it is thought that as he got near the spot where the ship had gone down, where his wife and his children had died, that it is then that he penned out these words that we're going to sing. See, how can we experience the peace of God even in the storms and the difficulties of life? It doesn't always make sense. But see, Paul talks about when we commit things to God, we can experience a peace that passes all under human understanding. And so as we sing in the words of this hymn, I want you just to reflect upon what is being said. And if you don't have that peace in your heart, hopefully you have your peace with God, that you've asked Christ into your heart and life and forgiveness of sins. If you haven't, we're here to pray with you this morning. But if there's things in your life right now, whether it's financial, whether it's with other people, peace with others, mind or heart, that it's just having your lunch. Can I use that expression? You know what it means? God has promised us His peace. So sing that together. If you want to respond to the message, we're here to pray with you and to believe with you and trust. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning.